This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Ready to start talking to your kids about financial literacy? Meet Greenlight, the debit card and money app that teaches kids and teens how to earn, save, spend wisely, and invest with your guardrails in place. Parents can send instant money transfers, automate allowance, and more. Plus, keep an eye on spending with real-time notifications. Join more than 6 million families building healthy financial habits together on Greenlight. Get your first month free at greenlight.com/odyssey. That's greenlight.com/odyssey.
Odyssey Sports presents Big Time Baseball.
A full season of Major League Baseball all the way through the LCS, and we are here for our final week of this year's 2021 Major League season. We are in October. It is World Series time. We know who's finally in the series, and it's a bit of a surprise. And you got me right here on Big Time Baseball on Odyssey Sports. I'm Cody Decker, former professional baseball player turned professional smartass on the radio. And of course, with me, my man, the one and only. You see him on MLB Network. You see him everywhere if you watch baseball. The one and only John Heyman. John, how you doing, buddy?
I'm good, Cody. Great to be with you, and I'm excited to talk World Series. And you're right.
Oh, man.
Not only a bit of a surprise, a major surprise to me. I took Dodgers-Yankees at the beginning. Then at the beginning of the playoffs, I had Dodgers-Astros, so I got half of that part of it right anyway. But, boy, the Braves have come out of nowhere. I'm amazed.
I was worried in the month of September. I was telling everybody, I'm like, guys, you got to take a look at the Braves. They're not going to stop winning. They're going to keep going. In fact, an 85-team win is going to win the World Series. It's going to happen. And I was half joking at the time. But a part of me was just so fearful that I was right. And it turns out I was. The Braves taking out the Dodgers on Sunday evening. Saturday evening, I should say, in Atlanta. What a series it was. I think everybody in the world expected to see Astros versus Dodgers when it got to the LCS time. Not many people, including myself, giving the Braves a whole lot of shots, but they've been swinging it great. They've been pitching it great. I mean, Max Fried was arguably one of the best pitchers in the second half of the season, and he actually got it done the game one against the Dodgers. Game two, the Dodgers lit him up a little bit, but it was a fun series. Jocktober continues a little bit. You see some great stuff from Duvall robbing a home run. That was huge. I mean, the Braves just are playing some great baseball at the best possible time. And I tell people all the time, John, when it comes to October, it's not the best team that wins the World Series. It's the hottest team. And quite frankly, there's not many people hotter than the Atlanta Braves right now.
Absolutely. And, you know, that 88 wins, that's a bit deceiving because, let's face it, they didn't get over 500 until I believe it was like August 6th or 7th, somewhere in there.
Really?
From there, they were pretty hot. And, in at the end there, the three teams that were winning the most were the Giants, the Dodgers, and the Braves. And so, I mean, they were the third best team over the last couple months. And, 88 wins in a weak division doesn't look too good. You know, the AL East dominated the NL East. It was 57-23 against the NL East. But it's not really fair on the Braves because, let's face it, they didn't have that whole outfield for the first half, and give Alex Anthopoulos credit for going out and getting not three, but four outfielders. They lost Acuna, who's one of the best players in the league, obviously. Ozuna, that was his own doing. Of course, the guy who was expected to be their ace pitcher, Soroka, also went down, never did pitch this year, and never made excuses. They kept right on going. Still have a great team in many respects, and I think they're better than an 88-win team, and they're going to give Houston quite a run for it here, I think.
I think you're right. I think they are going to give Houston quite a run for it. But just breaking down these two teams, I mean, we know what Houston is. Houston is just a power-packed lineup The arms really stepped up. The thing that really I had questions about with Houston was their bullpen and their arms, their starting arms. You know, losing out on Verlander this year. You know, Greinke's a little bit up there in accelerated age, but you had other guys that really pulled their weight. You know, as far as Lance and Garcia, I mean, there were guys that really did a hell of a job this season. But if you're breaking down these two teams facing each other in the World Series, let's just start with pitching. Who do you give the advantage to? Because I'm looking at this Braves starting rotation, and even without their, you know, quote unquote ace, they have arguably one of the best three head rotations in the game right now in October.
Yeah, and that's pretty good because there are only three head rotations. I mean, look at the Dodgers. We thought they had eight starters at one time. Now that they were down to three by the end as well. Really, nobody had four really good starters. So to have three really good ones, that's great for the Braves. And it's certainly a very, very even matchup in the rotation, I think. One thing I like about Houston is you talked about the hottest. I mean, Luis Garcia, I mean, he looked unhittable in that last game against Boston. I don't know where he got that from. The seven hardest pitches he threw all year, all over 97 miles an hour in that game, has an incredible breaking ball. I mean, at this moment, he probably is the hottest pitcher. It had been Freed. He was roughed up in the penultimate game there with the Braves and the Dodgers. But Freed and Morton, obviously, and Anderson is a very nice rotation, very solid. But right now, I don't think anybody's pitching better than Garcia. And look, Framber Valdez had, in some respects, the best outing in the postseason so far. I mean, I know Logan Webb was good with the Giants, but Framber, when nobody was expecting it to go eight innings, pretty darn good there. You know, it's funny to look at Houston's team. Obviously, Cole is long gone. Verlander was out for the year. McCullers is not going to be able to go, and yet they still match up okay. You know, I think it's pretty close to a push there, and I got to give them credit for being able to develop pitching. Not many teams are very good at developing pitching, but, you know, after Cleveland and Tampa, Houston may be the next best at developing starting pitching.
Yeah, and looking at this Houston team, and here's the thing you mentioned about them having fairly, you know, comparable starting rotation. I'm going to give the edge on my side a little bit more to the Braves, but there's one massive equalizer for the Houston Astros, and that's that offense. That offense is as good as any team I've ever seen in my lifetime. That's how good this offense is. One after the other, murderer's row. Dodgers have a very similar thing. The Braves even have a similar setup right now. And you mentioned Anthopoulos, how he should get a lot of credit. I think he should be executive of the year without question. What he was able to do after losing Acuna Jr., restocking that outfield, Soler, putting out, getting Jock, getting their hands on, Adam Duvall. I think they made incredibly great moves that were inspired and made the team even better. And like you mentioned, one of the better teams in the second half in the Atlanta Braves. But that offense in Houston is something that legitimately scares me. Watching them absolutely put the wood all over the Boston Red Sox towards the end there. This is a team that if they start going, they will not stop. And that's something that does concern me because I'm kind of rooting for the Braves a little bit. There's something about this Braves team that I'm just really, really enjoying. Jock with the pearls and, you know, just everything about this has been a blast to watch. Not to mention getting more Jeff Francoeur on television is never a bad thing.
Yep. You know, I understand that sentiment. Definitely on the awards, we generally hand out the awards based on the regular season. In that case, I think Farhan Zaidi will probably get it. But if you do the award right now, as we talk about it, to get those four outfielders, that's really tough to overlook. And really, they were all underperforming or just having okay seasons where they were. And, you know, he took advantage of that. He didn't give up any top 10 prospects. Alex Anthopoulos didn't. Got four guys who have pedigree, experience, and really good postseason players. I mean, Rosario, he was well known that he liked the spotlight and did well for the Twins in those circumstances. And Jock Peterson, as you mentioned, Jocktober, same thing with him. But to get four outfielders and Duvall, who can play center, he was a big RBI guy this year, even for the Marlins. Pretty darn good to get him back. So great job by Anthopoulos. The Braves lineup, awfully good. I mean, at this point, you'd have to give the lineup edge to Houston over anybody. You know, you've got the batting champion batting seventh. You've got Kyle Tucker batting sixth. He was third in weighted runs created plus in the second half to Soto and Harper, it's pretty good. That's their 7-6 hitter, and 5 is the My Time guy, Carlos Correa. So, I mean, their 5-6-7 is probably better than most teams' 2-3-4. You know, it's an all-time great lineup. They can afford to just go with the defense with Maldonado there at the toward the bottom of that lineup. Did get a couple of hits, I think, in the eventually, or at least one hit in the LCS, but he's in there just for his defense, but they can afford that. With that lineup that they do have. I mean, Houston's got the edge in the lineup over everybody, but, boy, Rosario's so hot. Freeman, we know what he can do. And the fact that Snicker batted those two guys, they're two biggest threats right now, 1-2, that worked out nicely. So I got to give Snicker credit for that as well. And Atlanta's fun. There's no question about it. But as far as the lineup edge, hard to overlook Houston.
It's impossible to overlook Houston. That lineup is frightening. And you mentioned Snicker, and he's done one hell of a job over in Atlanta since his tenure started. But over there in Houston, here's the thing. I think it's safe to say the majority of the United States, possibly the world, with the exception of Houston itself, is probably rooting against the Houston Astros. I think there's still a lot of people who are not quite over 2017, 18, 19, and before all of that. But I will say, man, Dusty Baker has never won a World Series as a manager. He is a certifiable Hall of Famer, arguably one of the greatest managers of all time. Looking through his resume, the Nationals took him to the playoffs, Reds took him to the playoffs, Cubs nearly took him to the World Series, Giants took them to the World Series, and now taking the Astros to the World Series again. I mean, Dusty Baker, as much as I don't like the Astros, and I'm willing to put that out there, I've been honest about that in the past, I don't like the Astros, but I love Dusty Baker so much to the point where if they did win the World Series, I'll let it go and focus entirely on Dusty getting his ring, because Dusty should have two handfuls of rings.
Yeah, you know, I think that's why Jim Crane, the owner, brought in Dusty. He knew that everybody loved him, and at that time, that was the perfect hire. Everybody hated the Astros, and, you know, he certainly lessens that a bit, deadens it a bit, because everybody loves Dusty. Just a likable guy. You know, it's weird that he's unsigned. I'm really not 100% sure what that's about. Look, I mean, he was let go in Washington with 90 plus wins, same in Cincinnati, small market team, 90 plus wins. They let him go. And San Francisco, he ended up switching to the Cubs after 2002 World Series. And, you know, they weren't really gung ho about bringing him back either. It's very, very weird. I mean, Houston, I can't understand why they haven't extended him to this point. They better do it. I mean, he's the only reason that some people actually like the Astros is Dusty. He's done a great job. You know, it's nice that I don't mind saying this, the two more traditional managers are in the World Series. Obviously, Cora is a fantastic manager. I love Roberts as well. But these teams are a little more traditional in how they've managed things. You know, they haven't done as much of the starters in relief, the relievers starting as the other teams did. And, you know, maybe, you know, the relievers starting seems to have caught on. Tampa started that, and that works enough that teams are going to keep doing that, especially now that there's so much attrition and there's so few teams that have a fourth starter. But the star starters in relief, I hope we can put an end to this at some point. That was an utter failure this October. In several cases, I understand Scherzer pitched that key inning that helped the Dodgers move on, but then he was spent, the dead arm. Arias, it didn't work on either end. He gave up a couple runs when he came in relief, and then he didn't have it as a starter after that. You know, you really got to take care of these pitchers, especially this year after last year was truncated season with 60 games. People didn't log the innings, and I think it's really come back to haunt a lot of these teams, because by the end, very few of these teams had more than three starters. And, you know, if the Dodgers had moved on, and I said this on MLB Network, I thought that was better for Houston if they were facing the Dodgers, because they have such attrition, and you've got Scherzer battling the dead arm. Bueller wasn't good by the end. He didn't pinpoint any reason, but he wasn't good. Arias, who had an 82 innings was as high before this year, had over 200 innings already this year. So You know, they were in trouble. I don't think they were going to make it through a World Series, and it's probably better off for everybody that Atlanta's still there with pitchers that look reasonably some semblance of themselves. So I think we should have a great World Series. I think it's a close matchup, but like most people, I think Houston's probably the favorite.
Yeah, I agree with you, although I am pulling for Atlanta quite a bit. I can't stress that enough.
You made that clear, yeah.
I want to make that – have I made it abundantly clear that I want Atlanta to win the World Series? Okay, good. Just making sure, because I love me some Dusty Baker, but I love me some Jock Peterson and Max Fried a little more, just because of my personal relationships with those two guys. You mentioned old school managers right now, and you know, today an announcement was made, new manager in the major leagues, St. Louis Cardinals naming their 51st manager, Ollie Marmol. You talk about kind of the old school aspects of the two managers in the World Series right now. And here is the Cardinals going with a 35-year-old young man who is even talking about in his first press conference about collaborative efforts with the front office and R&D department. So it seems as though the Cardinals are going to be going several steps further away from old school and more into the metrics and analytics kind of departments, which everyone really is already. But, you know, it's one of those things that's kind of getting away from the old guard. Is this something you're excited about, or are you something more of a sit and wait type thing, John?
Well, we'll see how it goes. I mean, I understand most teams are going in that direction. It's pretty clear that was the direction they're going with. You know, they're not a team that reveals much, so we don't know everything that was behind the Shilt surprise firing. But the fact that they wanted to go more toward analytics, and he really was, I think, pushing back on that a bit, was part of it. The other part was, I think, about the coaching staff. They won't admit that, but I probably now, looking at it from a distance, still, I think they probably like Marmol better, probably better than he did and probably better than him. And, you know, Marmol is going to, you know, be an arm of the front office. That's pretty clear. Not that there's anything wrong with it. I mean, obviously, Dave Roberts has said that it's all collaborative and the front office has a big input. And that's a very successful team that was a world champion last year and 106 wins this year. So can't say it doesn't work. Can't say it's dumb. It may be the way to go. And that certainly is the way that the Cardinals are going now. They don't have to reveal that. We know that. Marmol, 35 years old, very well-liked fellow, but youngest manager in the majors. You know, they obviously have a good team, so there's pressure on him right away.
Marmol, by the way, my age, in fact, only about 6 months older than me. Pretty impressive, that young age, being a major league manager. It seemed very clear that he was the tagged person for this job all along. And it seemed as though they were ready to get rid of Shilt, not so much because they were done with Shilt, but they just knew they had Marmol, we're ready to go. I think that's kind of what helped their decision and hastened their decision. One last question for you, John, regarding the World Series. I know you're leaning towards the Astros. How many games?
Yeah, I'm going to go with the Astros in six. You know, I had them making the World Series and then losing to the Dodgers. So, you know, if I had them making the World Series, and no reason to jump off now, although the fact they don't have McCullers is certainly a negative. And I don't blame you for saying the starting pitching is better with Atlanta. I would say that's a push, but I could see that for Atlanta. Certainly got the experience factor there, but I'm going to go six games. That Houston lineup just doesn't quit, and you know, everybody loves Dusty, and I really do have a soft spot for him, and particularly since he's unsigned once again, and you know, it would be terrible for baseball if he doesn't have a job next year.
It is mind-blowing that he is currently unsigned. The great, arguably one of the greatest managers of all time, and arguably one of the greatest managers right now in yet another World Series, unsigned for next year. You know, John, I agree with you wholeheartedly. Six games for the Astros, although I do fully agree with myself that the Atlanta Braves do have the advantage on the starting pitching side, especially losing Lance McCullers Jr. over there in Houston. But like you said, that offense is just so, so good. So I think I'm going to agree with you. Six games for Houston. However, it's not what I want. What I want is seven games for Atlanta. I'm not going to get that. I'm pretty sure I'm getting the six games for Houston. And I'm excited for it. It's going to be a good series. It's not quite the Dodgers-Astros 2 that I think everyone wanted, including Fox. But I think it's going to be a great series with a lot of great ball players out there. I'm really excited to see it. And plus, I get a chance to root against the Astros. Who does not love rooting against the Astros, John?
I understand. You're a very smart guy for such a young man. I learned today you're 35. You know, at my age, we just assume everybody's about 50. I don't even think about it, but 35. Wow. I have
34, actually.
I have ties older than you. So good job on you for that. And
thank you.
I think your prediction is right on. And I don't blame you for rooting for the Braves. They're a fun team. And, you know, I think this could go either way.
Yeah, and again, it is October. It can go either way. Let's be real clear. Everyone thought the Dodgers were going to win 125 games this year and sweep through the playoffs. Obviously, injuries happen. Things change as things go forward, and what a hell of a playoffs it has been. In fact, John, there was one point, I think I texted you during the playoffs. There was a game that I was watching that I was just so overjoyed that I texted you saying, John, this October has been off the charts. And yeah, you just immediately texted me back saying, yeah. It's insane.
Yeah, you're right. You're right to mention injuries, but it's no excuse because, I mean, who's had bigger injuries than the Braves, you know, with
Acuna,
Ozuna, and Soroka. And then during the season, they lost several others. I almost think their pitching arms were a little fresher because Fried missed a little time and Anderson missed some time. I don't know. Maybe that helped them. I'm not sure, but I do know that all the acquisitions they made, they were huge. And again, great job by the front office. And amazing that they're here because, you know, while I thought they'd win that first round, I certainly did not expect them in the World Series.
Yeah, well, John, let's move on from the World Series because right after the World Series ends, it's the same time of year. It is hot stove time about to start. And John, this is really where you flex your muscles big time for the next few months because it is time for Heyman's Inside Corner. Let's talk about some free agent landing spots because this year, man, has the market been flooded with some serious top tier talent. Let's start right out the gate with the team that really took a lot of headlines this season for the wrong reasons, I might say. The Chicago Cubs. They obviously did their massive fire sale. It was actually one of the first real fire sales I've actually seen. I was a part of the San Diego Padres for 7 years, and it was during a time when the team was always, you know, in the cellar in the league, and we always heard about the fire sale that the Padres were going to do every trade deadline, and it never came. Not one time, in fact. Except this year, the Cubs truly did do a fire sale. They let go of everybody. Schwarber, Rizzo, Bryant, Baez. I thought it was the right move to do for the organization going forward personally. But, you know, as a lot of Cubs fans will tell you, it hurt to see them all go. And I understand that. But looking at these guys, those names I just said, Baez, obviously going to get a huge deal. Bryant, obviously going to get a huge deal. Rizzo, he's got a shot to make some money. And Schwarber, with what he's done this year, has really put himself in one hell of a position as a free agent. Where do you think is going to be logical landing spots for these former Cubs?
Very good. I appreciate the introduction there, Cody. And nobody's ever talked about my muscles before, but thank you for saying that I'm flexing my muscles. I didn't know, even though I had any.
Those obliques, John, they stand out, man.
All right. You're a funny guy. You know, first of all, I would say don't try this at home. I'm going to try to predict the team for each of these big free agents that we're going to talk about. We are going to talk about these ex-Cubs first and going to give it a shot. We'll see how this goes. But again, no guarantees. Please don't bet. Don't go to MGM or Bally's or whatever and place any bets on these because, again, they're just guesses. They may be educated, but they're all just guesses. We don't know how the free agency is going to go, particularly this year when you've got the potential of a work stoppage looming. But let me start with Baez, who did a very good job with the Mets other than the thumbs down. So thumbs down on that, but that was very brief, and he took the brunt of it. And I give him credit for taking the brunt of it because there were many teammates involved, and he got it all, but he played well with the Mets, restored his viability as a free agent, and, you know, I think the Cubs are going to get him back. That'd be my guess. They were close when the pandemic came. I think both sides like each other. They need help. They need more pitching help than hitting help, but that would be my guess on Baez would be the Cubs. I wouldn't rule out the Mets either. Bryant. I'm going to say Bryant takes Baez's place and goes to the Mets. That was the more logical pickup for them than Baez at the time, and they still could use help at third base, and he's very versatile and can do many, many, many things. Obviously, the Giants like him and perhaps a return, but I'm going to go Mets there. Rizzo, I'm going to go with the team that people predicted in the first place would get him, and he went to their rival, the Yankees. I'm going to say I'm going to guess the Red Sox for Rizzo. We shall see. I don't know. It depends on what they think of Dalbec. And so, to some degree, maybe whether J.D. Martinez opts out with $19.375 million to go. I suspect he probably won't, but we may have the universal DH. And boy, there are a lot of variables that can throw things up in the air here. And then you mentioned Schwarber, obviously ex-Cub. He did come to the Red Sox via the Nats. Can't forget that, but he is an ex-Cub, so let's put him in this category. And I'm going to concentrate on the fact he was with the Nats more than the Cubs and say that Kevin Long helped him improve his swing, and he really took off as a member of the Nats, and he continued that with the Red Sox. But I'm going to say Kevin Long, now the hitting coach with the Phillies, I'm going to say Schwarber winds up with the Phillies. And again, we're looking at the potential of a universal DH, so could be room for Hoskins and Schwarber in Philly.
I love it. I absolutely. And you mentioned Kevin Long. I've hit with Kevin Long before, too. And I will tell you, hitting with Kevin Long is a borderline religious experience. He is an incredible, incredible hitting coach, knows how to communicate. And there's one thing that Kevin Long has kind of never gotten, and that's an opportunity to be a manager in the big league level. Is there a reason? Because his name has been thrown around for a couple of spots, but he's never seemed to have gotten that job. Is there something that's holding off Kevin Long, or is it just wrong place, wrong time?
Yeah, I mean, the answer to that is there's only 30 spots, and we've certainly gone the way of younger. And if you're good for the older guys, they usually take guys who are already legendary managers like Dusty and Tony La Russa, guys like that. But generally, teams are looking younger and guys willing to, be collaborative, shall we say, or do what they say, as they can also put that. So, and he's such a great hitting coach that, he'll always have a place in the game. But I think it's difficult for a guy who's been a hitting coach than to break in and become a manager. I can't think of too many examples of that. And, you know, once guys get pigeonholed, that's kind of what they are.
Mm-hmm. Fair or not. I can definitely see that.
Yeah.
I can definitely see that. But I got to say, Kevin Long, one of the true hitting guys in baseball that can truly get just about anybody to hit. Looking throughout the league, you know, we already talked about the Cubs, ex-Cub players. Here's the real market in my eyes, because this is where the market's incredible, and that is the middle infield shortstop market, because listen to these names. Trevor Story, Marcus Semien, Corey Seager, Correa. Those names are game changers. Each one of those players going to any team immensely makes that team better. And in my eyes, the true star of the group, and that's a group of all stars, to me, it's Carlos Correa. I played against each one of these guys, and I got to say, the only guy I ever played on the field with, other than Mike Trout, where I said, that guy is playing a different sport than me, is Carlos Correa. Just off the charts. But each one of these guys, massive impact players. We've seen what Corey Seager can do with the Los Angeles Dodgers, especially in October. Semien really made a case for MVP this year. Definitely going to fall short, but what a hell of a year. He's going to make a massive impact somewhere. Where do you see these four shortstops, middle infielders, landing?
Yeah, that's interesting you said that about Correa. I think it's kind of split on who will get the biggest contract between Correa and Seager. I did a poll, and Correa did win natural slightly over Seager, but it was fairly close. Both have been great in the postseason. Correa a little points to a little bit more with the my time. And I don't blame him.
So
that's
amazing.
Fun. Yeah, that's great stuff, and he liked the fact that Eduardo Rodriguez, another good free agent, came back at him, people could say mocking, but I would say that he was flattering him by pointing to his wrist after he did well. I didn't mind that either, but Correa is certainly helping his case, and perhaps he will beat Seager. I've kind of thought Seager would probably get the most just because he's a great hitter who hits the best pitching, although he did not have a great LCS. I'm going to start here with the Story, who did not have his usual year. Couple of throwing questions, but been a terrific player and a great two-way player, speed, power. I think he's going to go home to the Rangers. He's from Arlington, Texas, so they've said they're going to spend, and I think that's where one of the things they're going to spend on is a shortstop. So I'm going to say Story for the Rangers. Semien, you know what? Not a lot of people know this, but the Twins played big for him before the Jays got him, tried to get him on a two-year deal. I'm going to go a little bit on a long shot here and say the Twins may do it. They need a shortstop. Obviously, Simmons also a free agent. Still, it's going to be tough for them to outbid the Jays. So, I mean, if you're really predicting it, you probably say Jays have the best chance. But I kind of like the Twins there. Correa, I've said the Tigers, the A.J. Hinch link is there, but, you know, this is a guy, obviously, he likes the spotlight. Maybe he does, Detroit's not bright enough for him, and maybe he'll stay in Houston. I'm not ruling that out, and even if they offered him only $120, $125 million, they're going to have to more than double that to keep him, but obviously his popularity has risen quite a bit. And Seager, you know, he's the one lefty in the bunch here. We covered Baez earlier. He's another shortstop, and have him go back to the Cubs. But Seager, the last one left, I'm going to say, because he's the lefty in the bunch, the Yankees need to balance it. And getting your catcher, they're not going to balance it that way. This is the way to balance it at shortstop. And that would be Seager with the Yankees. And they've reset. You know, they had a payroll under the $210 million threshold, so they certainly can afford to do it. The one caveat there is that they have their two best prospects are both shortstops a couple of years away, Peraza and Volpe, but Seager's a guy who could switch over from short to third in 2 or 3 years.
Yeah, and I absolutely love that pick right there. Look, just looking at Corey Seager, he's got the profile, the face, everything about him screams New York Yankee, and I really love that pick. I also love the idea of Correa in Detroit. That's a team that made massive leaps forward, finishing third in the AL Central. Yeah, it was a down year for the AL Central, but we can't sit here and pretend that a team that won a winning percentage of 290, moving up to almost 500 in one season, first year of AJ Hinch, is nothing to scoff at. So I really like that idea. I think that's going to be a team that goes out and spends. I think there's a lot of great landing spots for a lot of these players. And let's look over at another grouping of players, because let's not mince words here. These guys really helped themselves this year. And I'm talking about Nick Castellanos and arguably the front runner for the AL Cy Young, Robbie Ray. Where do you think these two are going to end up?
Yeah, Robbie Ray, again, I wouldn't be shocked if he goes back to Toronto. He certainly had great success there, certainly with the pitching coach, Walker, and I could see that. But I'm going to go Yankees again. That's two Yankees. When they spend, they really spend. Let's not forget 2009 when they brought in Sabathia, Teixeira, Burnett, and then 2013 when they brought in a bunch of guys, including Ellsbury. They probably want to forget that one, but they brought in, was it 2000? I can't remember the year, but anyway. Brought in Ellsbury and several others that 1 year. And, you know, I think they may get multiple guys. Castellanos, I'm going to go with the Brewers. Avisail Garcia is also a free agent once he opts out. Castellanos will opt out, $34 million, 2 years to go. I saw someone mention the Rockies. You know, I mean, they want a power hitter. He'd probably like hitting there. You know, he didn't love Detroit, but he's certainly taken his Cincinnati and Wrigley Field, but I'm going to stick with Milwaukee for Castellanos.
Mm-hmm. I like it. And let's go for one last little grouping of players. And I'm going to call it our Hall of Fame category, because all these players, I will admit, a little bit up there in advanced age, but all still pulling their weight in what they do, some of which are still the best in the game at what they do. And the names that I'm going to throw out there are someone like a Justin Verlander, a Max Scherzer, Clayton Kershaw, Albert Pujols, Freddie Freeman, and Nelson Cruz. These are all mainstays of the Major League All-Star Game for the past 10 years. Some of them might be kind of getting ready to take their final bow, but someone like Freddie Freeman, I think we can all assume, is just going to end up being a Brave for life. But the name that really sticks out to me is Scherzer and Kershaw. Kershaw been a lifelong Dodger, but you know, a lot of people have been throwing mock-ups of a Texas Ranger logo on his hat lately. Not to mention Scherzer can pretty much go wherever the hell he wants. What do you think these guys are going to end up choosing to do?
Well, Scherzer, we have a hint, because when the trade deadline came, he was pretty clear that he wanted to go to California, and it did seem like he favored Southern California, at least to me. I could be wrong. And obviously, he did very well with the Dodgers, ran out of gas a little bit at the end, but no arm injury, so I think the Dodgers, they love the guys on short term, the big stars. Obviously, Bauer did not work out. Maybe they'll recoup some money. They probably will recoup some money when he's suspended, presumably. And I think that money probably goes to Scherzer. So I'm going to say Dodgers for Scherzer, although I think the Angels will be in their pitching, no pun intended. And Kershaw, you know, it's going to be interesting to see whether he gets the qualifying offer after a year in which he was injured at the end of the year. I suspect they probably give it to him, but not sure. It depends. You know, you have to look at his injury paperwork on that. I don't know. I'm assuming he's going to go back to L.A. I don't want to assume anything there, though. So I could see Texas as the fallback. That is his hometown, Dallas. And that would be interesting to see him leave. But normally an all-time great like that likes to finish where he started. But I'm not guaranteeing that one. Verlander, I think, will end up in Southern California as well. I'm going to go Angels. They obviously need the pitching. You know, if they had some pitching, they might have won a little more, won some more playoff games in Mike Trout's tenure, but they haven't had that pitching. And I'm going to say that they go out and spend on the pitching now. And I'll go with Verlander to the Angels. Pujols, maybe this is nostalgic. I've got him going back to the Cardinals. I think he did enough in the postseason and for the Dodgers that probably can get a job, particularly if we have the universal DH. And I'd like to see him back with the Cardinals again with that DH possibility there. And in St. Louis. And Cruz, I know this isn't quite as nostalgic, but he loved Minnesota. I don't know many people who like Minnesota more. I don't know, maybe Bud Grant. I don't know, maybe Mary Tyler Moore. I'm not sure, but he loved it there. And I'm going to guess a reunion for Nelson Cruz. He's still got another year or two or more in him. And the last one is you've already mentioned where he's probably going to go, and that's Freddie Freeman. I want to get one right, so I'm going to say Atlanta as well. I mean, can we really see Freddie Freeman leaving the Braves? I mean, that would be shocking. I think at this point they're willing to give him the Goldschmidt contract and maybe a little bit more. But at this stage, with an MVP in his pocket, and we'll see what he does here in the World Series, but certainly the leader of this team that's gotten to the World Series, he's going to beat that five-year, $130 million Goldschmidt contract. Even if he takes a hometown discount in Atlanta, which is what I think will happen, what you think will happen, and what everyone thinks will happen.
I can't imagine a world where it doesn't. I'll be blown away if we ever see Freddie Freeman wearing a different uniform. I really will. And yeah, maybe you're right about Nelson Cruz. He did love his time in Minnesota. And I am resisting the urge so much to singing the Mary Tyler Moore theme song right now. And I will continue to resist that urge. But I do have this wonderful comical image in my head of Nelson Cruz going back to Minnesota, taking off his beanie and throwing it up in the air like Mary Tyler Moore.
He loves it there.
Yeah, well, I mean, how can you not? I mean, he had an incredible couple of years there. He helped that team absolutely break through this last season. Of course, Minnesota, a massive disappointment. But for the most part, just an incredible run over there in Minnesota these last couple of years. Of course, not able to get past certain teams in October. But this is a team that can absolutely go right back and win this season, provided everybody gets healthy and they make a couple of good moves. And, John, I love everything you said right there on Heyman's Inside Corner. And, John, where can people find you if they want to get some more John Heyman?
Well, at MLB Network. That's where I work. And, of course, always on all of the Odyssey stations across the country. Every one of them, and we in Milwaukee, San Diego, Baltimore, Chicago, and many others. Those are the ones I have regular spots on. So it's great to be with Odyssey and MLB Network, and I appreciate your giving me that plug there, Cody. It's very
of
good.
Course.
You're a very mature 34.
Oh, thank you so much. My wife entirely disagrees with you, but I will tell you, make sure you follow John on all social medias, check out everything that's going on, stay up to date with the hot stove, and of course, everything with Major League Baseball and this upcoming World Series. Check him out on MLB Network. You guys can find me on Twitter at Decker6 and Antihero Baseball on Instagram. Please check out my nonprofit, 501c3 Border Youth Athletic Association, if you get a chance. Not to mention, on top of that, you can check me out on BetMGM, MLB podcast powered by BetQL that I do with Ryan Horvath right here on Odyssey Sports. And guys, that is it for us this week on Big Time Baseball. Make sure you like, share, and subscribe wherever you get your favorite podcasts. I'm Cody Decker. He's John Heyman. We will be back next week. Enjoy some World Series baseball, people. Be safe out there. Beat it.
I'm Trey Wingo.
And I'm Kevin Frazier. We're teaming up on a new weekly sports podcast from Wondery, Alternate Routes.
As former SportsCenter anchors and current sports obsessives, we're consumed by all the what-if questions that make being a sports fan so excruciatingly fun.
If you're like us, then you also live and die on the fallout from every drop pass, busted draft pick, and game-changing play.
Or play call.
Intercepted at the goal line by Malcolm Butler.
Sorry, Marshawn, still too soon. Each week on Alternate Routes, we'll take a flashpoint in sports, break down what actually happened, then explore every alternate scenario and the ripple effects it would have caused.
Follow and listen to Alternate Routes on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen ad-free by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts,
I mean, the possibilities are limitless, Kevin.
What if Portland drafted Michael Jordan?
What if the NBA never vetoed the Chris Paul trade to the Lakers? That's a butterfly effect forever.